The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in here on a Thursday morning, and I am very happy that you are with us this morning. We got lots and lots of good stuff to get to, and guess what? You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and this morning, it's just the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ethan and I are alone in the studio down here. You know, normally we've been having our friend Dan Buck fill in here now that Kim is officially out with the new baby, little Hudson, taking care of him. Everybody's happy and healthy, I understand. But in her absence, we've got some people who are kind of filling in the gaps. Let's put it that way. She's irreplaceable, so we're not replacing Kim, but we do have people who are filling in, and a couple of them have other jobs, including Dan Buck, who is traveling to visit his first grandson right now, so he's not with us this morning, and won't be back tomorrow either. Won't be back till next week. And our friend Scott Jagow will be filling in on news this morning, but he's doing double duty as well. So he is not actually here in the studio with me. He will be joining and helping fill in for Kim over the coming weeks. So he'll be back soon, but I'm not violating his HIPAA rules. He's getting ready to have shoulder surgery next week. So Scott's going to be out for a little while recuperating from that. So it's been a little bit of a mixed bag, a little bit of a hodgepodge of people helping me fill in and pull off the show over the next few weeks. But we appreciate their efforts. We're happy that Kim can be home with that brand new baby, and we're just thrilled for him. I'm trying to get her on the air tomorrow. I told her that we would get her on here and let her tell her story of the middle of the night birth of her latest child, and she said that she might do that tomorrow morning. I'm like, well, I want to leave it to you, because the people I'm sure would love to hear from you, and I tell everybody you're healthy and happy, but they'd probably love to hear how you're doing with the new little one, because you know when you move from one to two, you got to go on a sort of a man to man defense. So I'm sure she and Michael have got their hands full right now. So I don't know if I'll get her on here tomorrow or not, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. How about that?
We try.
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, Ethan. Kim and I have complained, and I've complained for years, about the homeless problem downtown. I don't know if you heard Karen Largemouth Bass yesterday. She was complaining about the heat in Los Angeles. And she said, we're very concerned about unhoused, Los Angelinos.
Yeah,
we're worried about unhoused Angelinos. No, Mayor Largemouth Bass. They're not unhoused. They're homeless. And in many cases, they're bums who don't want any help. You just got to call it the way it is, right? So St. Louis has its own core group of people who live downtown. And for a while, they lived over by City Hall because they wanted to be a thorn in the side of Tashara Jones. So she took metal gates. Some of those metal gates are still up, and she put them around City Hall to keep the homeless away from that green space right outside of the mayor's window. And then they, for the longest time, they lived across the street from City Hall in what's called Fireman's Park over here. There's a statue to a fireman in the park, so that hence the name. And then they cordoned that off, right? They put the barriers up to keep the homeless out of there. So they moved down the street to the old criminal courts building, which has been vacant for years. And they resided there for a while until, of course, the people at Enterprise Center got sick of the homeless encampment across the street from them. So they put barricades up and ran them off from there as well. And they have slowly just been, it's like moving pieces on a chessboard. They've just been moving them around downtown to get them out of sight. And Ethan, unfortunately for us and all of us who work in our building down here at basically 12th and Olive, they've moved to the park directly next door to us. Like when I've got the shades pulled here in the studio, if you're watching this morning. But when I left work yesterday morning, there must have been 45 homeless people in the park across the street from our radio station. Many of them on something. I don't know what it is. They're half bent over, walking around like they're in a daze, stumbling around. I don't know if they're drunk, stoned, on some other drug, strung out. It's a mess. And I'd love to know what Kara Spencer's going to do about that. But, of course, she's kind of got her hands full right now looking for a new city emergency management director. Wow. We'll talk about that story this morning, but you talk about the height of absurdity that you or I knew the day this happened, who needed to be fired for it, but it took the city over 3 months and God knows how much money they paid to a private attorney firm, a legal firm, to investigate it, to reach the conclusion that anybody with two eyes and a brain could have reached 3 months ago. Sarah Russell blew it. She blew it. Wokeness won that day. And, you know, I mean, I fail to understand how in the world it took 3 months. Was she a civil service employee and somehow protected from rapid firing? I'm not quite sure how that went down. But it took them until yesterday to finally announce they were getting rid of her. But they've been paying her the whole time. So don't you worry. She's been on extended paid vacation, even though everybody could see exactly what the problem. I mean, the problems were extensive. As we talked about a little bit, Dan and I talked about this yesterday, but the fact that they finally got around to firing her yesterday afternoon is rather a joke. Took entirely too long. So we'll talk more about all that this morning. By the way, here I am joking about being in here all along, my my friend Scott Schneider of Donuts Delight up there. Of course, he works early like the rest of us. He offered to come in for free. Now, I don't know about Ethan, but if we do let Scott come in here, he is bringing donuts. There's an upside to this.
Exactly.
He said he would work for free, but he couldn't make any guarantees. I love it, Scott. Thank you. Thank you for the kind offer. We do appreciate that. All right. Tell you what, Ethan, why don't you get our top stories queued up here while I try to find the one that I'm hoping to play for you.
You got it. Here we go.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It's kind of bizarre that we have a bunch of old, primarily white people who are out there protesting the policies that keep people safe when they've never felt danger in their entire lives.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Do you see who's complaining? Do you see who is protesting in Washington, D.C.? It's all old white people. I mean, I don't know if they've all been paid, if this is just the liberal elite that live in D.C. They're the only ones protesting less crime.
The sanctuary mayors will order the police department to ignore the federal request to set them free out of the jail, out of the prison. And they will go back into the community. What they're doing, Sean, is evil, and President Trump will see that they are held to account for their crimes.
Very good. Stephen Miller, love that guy. That's what I voted for. And people like Michelle Wu, that mayor in Boston who got sassy yesterday, I hope she's the first one to go.
If I didn't know better, I would think he was a Republican plant. If I didn't know better, I'd think that Republicans had created Mr. Mondami in a Petri dish in a genomics lab.
John Kennedy. And that's not the best part of the bite. Wait till you hear what he said after that.
Breaking tonight, Texas Republican legislators have just won their fight over redistricting. Just moments ago, the state House vote is now final. The bill aims to provide 5 additional congressional seats for the GOP.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Yasmin Crockett is out. O-U-T, out. The Texas House yesterday voted to eliminate Jasmine Crockett's district. Now, does that mean she won't run in another district, which I'm told she's about to, In fact, if you listen to the show last week, we had on my friend Kurt Schwab. He is a candidate in District 33. It's one of the districts they redrew to include a portion of Jasmine Crockett's district. And indications are she's going to try to move her candidacy and run in that new district. The good news is that new district is pink, if not red. So there's a good chance, just like Cori Bush here in St. Louis, that Jasmine Crockett's time in Congress is limited. And lo and behold, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? I'm not quite sure what the Democrats are thinking in that case, but Jasmine Crockett might be on the way out. So the Texas has stood up and done this, and overnight, if you're just waking up, the California Supreme Court made a key ruling. Some Republicans out there tried to ask for an emergency order to stop Gavin Newsom from moving forward with some crazy California redistricting plan. I mean, they already have completely gerrymandered the state of California because it's blue in L.A., it's blue in San Francisco. The rest of it is large chunks of it are red, and they have managed to whittle down the number of Republicans to just a handful from the entire state of California. What do they have, like 50 congresspeople or something from California? It's crazy, the number they have. Whatever number they have, they've whittled the Republicans down to virtually nothing. Now they claim they can eliminate five more, and they're moving forward. My guess is that gets challenged in court. I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's what happened overnight. So I just wanted to get that breaking news for you. Right now, we will get to a quick break here. And Ethan, who's got our national anthem?
We're going to go with Ricochet this morning.
Nice.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we've watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore chapped nipples.
Boy, has nothing ever been truer about that statement. And this a cluster would be the best way I can think of it. This cluster over the emergency management folks here in St. Louis. I mean, what in the world took so long? Is anybody asking, has the mayor held a news conference yet where anybody's asked her that question? We maybe need to get our friend Elliot Davis on here again and this guy's working harder in retirement than he did when he was a reporter at Channel 2. I told him he needs to figure out how to monetize that, and he doesn't seem to be too worried about it, to be honest with you. Go ahead and play part of Cut 7 for me, please.
City Hall has officially fired the city's Emergency Management Commissioner, Sarah Russell. They were in charge of sounding tornado sirens. We know that alarm never went off, the protocol failing during the May 16th tornado. First Alert 4 Investigates has been investigating Sarah Russell since the storm and their suspension. As head of the City Emergency Management Agency in St. Louis, often referred to as SEMA, Russell had held that job since 2022. Well, following the siren debacle in May and then Monday's release of the external report detailing their failures, the city fired Russell late last night. That report found many failures were preventable. Russell has not commented. The mayor's office won't tell us anything more right now, saying this is a personnel matter.
Yeah, it's not a personnel matter. When you have a failure by a major department head, that's not the same as firing a secretary from the office pool. It's not. So at the very least, the mayor needs to hold a news conference on this. The residents, the taxpayers, of which I am one because I unfortunately have to drive to the city every day for work, we deserve answers. Why did you wait 4 months to make this decision? There was no question as to what went wrong here. Everybody knew it. Sarah Russell knew it. You could see it on her face at the news conference that day. She knew she'd screwed up. They abandoned their post to go to a woke DEI conference down the street or climate conference or whatever the hell it was, and they didn't leave anybody behind to push the button. Now, the problems are much deeper than that. That was the glaring problem. There's no guarantee. Nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody can say, well, if Sarah Russell had been committed to her job and she had stayed in her office that day, sent the rest of the crew down the street to be brainwashed about climate change, then at least she would have been there to push the button. That's the most glaring problem. The bigger problem is what they found in this investigation is something we all already knew, is that there was only one working button in the city of St. Louis, and that was in her office. Because nobody had tested the one down at the fire department, it wasn't working anyway. So when she called down and asked him to push the button that day, pushing the button would have done nobody any good. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Wouldn't have done any good. Is it political correctness? Is it some sort of civil service issue that it took 3 months to fire this individual? I know it's got nothing to do with the fact that she looks like a cross between Mickey Rooney and Betty Davis. I can't figure out a better description than that. I don't know. But it makes you question that. I have a feeling that if it was, you know, Joe Schmo, he would have been out. But it was not in this case, because we have to take our time and officially determine what went wrong here. No, we know what went wrong here. There was never any doubt about that. Now the question should be, can we get a reimbursement for that salary over the past 3 months that we've been paying Sarah Russell to do nothing? Or, and this will be controversial, are they going to name the person who's going to replace them with the promise that they're going to institute changes? Bear in mind, she's been there since 2022. It's 2025. In 3 years, she never addressed the fact that several of the sirens in town didn't work and one of the buttons was broken. Now, was she hamstrung by budgets? I don't know, but tell us. Let's have a news conference. Let's be honest with the people of St. Louis. Speaking of which, have you seen the newest bobblehead the Cardinals are offering? Let's be honest about that. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned.
You need to get your head out of your butt. Focus on the real issues.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back here this morning, Thursday morning. Mark Cox in the chair. We got Kim St. Ange off enjoying a brand new bouncing baby boy. Probably already eating him out of house and home because he was 9 pounds when he was born. So he's a big one. We're hoping to get her on later this week talking about it. But Dan Buck's out today. He already had some pre-scheduled vacay to go see his new grandson. And I'm sitting down here with Ethan in the studio all by ourselves this morning. So we're having a good time. So here's why I played that. The Cardinals have a little bit of a rough go at it right now, right? The season pretty much over, right? We're looking to next year, which is kind of what we knew when the season started, to be quite honest with you. I'm just thinking about that. I heard that promo a minute ago from my friend Tom Ackerman about some sports broadcasting opportunity they have coming up for kids who might want to get into sports broadcasting. And it made me reflect yesterday on my conversation with Tom Ackerman. What a fantastic human being he is. I just got to tell you. Honored that I've gotten a chance to know him since we moved down here to this building, back in 2018. So I've known Tom for a long time, just casually, but then I've gotten to know him a lot better since he's been part of the show for a while. He's normally on Thursdays. We don't have Tom this morning because he's moving his daughter to college today. She's going to Miami of Ohio, my alma mater, in fact, and I saw him out in the garage. And even though he's got to get up this morning, get the car loaded, and leave for the 6.5 hour, 7 hour drive to Oxford, Ohio, because there's no easy freaking way to get there to Oxford, Ohio. Can I just tell you that it's in the middle of nowhere, right on the Ohio-Indiana border. And so he's leaving this morning, and he still offered to call in from the car and do a report for us this morning. And I'm like, no, Tom, don't do that. Enjoy your family. Take your day off. And that's going to be his first kid going away to college. And I remember how emotional that was when I had to drop my daughter off down first of all, I had to drop her off in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, as a Kentucky fan, that was not easy to begin with. Now, at least it wasn't the University of Louisville. It was Bellarmine University down in Louisville, which is just down the street from U of L, because Louisville's not a huge town. But that's neither here nor there. It's a very emotional time when you're taking your firstborn away to college. And I said, no, Tom, please enjoy your day. Thank you for offering, but we will get along without you today, and you enjoy your time with your family. Which brings me to my next story. I don't expect to ever have a bobblehead. Don't get me wrong. I'm not jealous of it. I don't. It's just not something that would happen. Nobody's going to create a Mark Cox bobblehead. But if they did, I would want to have a little bit of input on the final product. Can I just tell you that? I mean, because you know, when people, I don't know who makes the heads for bobbleheads, but they take a picture of you and they try to repeat it in the form of the head that's going to bobble on the body. And, you know, I've got a kind of a big nose, and I would want to see that finished product before they put it out there. You know what bobblehead they're giving away September 1st at the Cardinals Stadium? If you have tickets to see the Cardinals here before the end of the season, Nikki Glaser is getting her own bobblehead.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It is Nikki Glaser night, September 1st versus the Athletics. Now, I've had the opportunity to meet her a couple of times. She probably doesn't remember who the hell I am, but she used to be involved with the Y98 morning show on occasion. I think she used to date Tim Convey's brother or something like that.
She still is, I believe.
So they were over here, and they've been in a few times over the years, and I've had a few chances to meet her. First of all, she's gorgeous, right? She is funny as hell. Some of her humor is kind of blue for some of you, I would imagine. But she's funny. I love her. I love when she hosts things. That Tom Brady roast is one of the funniest darn things. I still laugh when I see the reruns of it on social media. They have done this poor woman a disservice with this bobblehead. Can I tell you that? Nikki should make this as part of her comedy routine, because that could be any blonde-haired woman with a Cardinal hat on. It does not look like Nikki Glaser, in my opinion. She's gorgeous, and she's probably just thankful that she's getting a bobblehead, and she'll get lots of publicity that day at the ballpark. But Nikki, I'm sorry about that. I was looking at that thinking,
you're kind of right. Like, if they didn't have the name on the bottom of that, I wouldn't know who that was.
Oh, you'd have no idea who the hell that was. Like, at least the ones they did for Ozzie Smith, and I mean, not the one where he's doing the backflip, because everybody would know it was Ozzie because of the backflip. But his bobblehead looks something like Ozzie Smith. Like, Wayno's bobblehead looked like Wayno. Maybe it was the beard. Maybe, I don't know what it was, but you could tell it was Wainwright. But I don't know. This one is not getting the job done at all. So anyway, I'll just say that as somebody who will.
But they gave her a mic, so that should tell you.
Yeah,
who
she does. She does have a microphone. Yeah,
that shows you who she is.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I hope the Cardinals can turn things around next season. It's It's sad. I said it last year. I'll say it again. I grew up in Cincinnati, you know, in the heyday of the Cincinnati Reds, the big red machine. I fell in love with them, but way back then, and followed them until, I don't know, probably the mid-90s. I had moved away from Ohio in 1990, I think, to South Carolina. And then, of course, I moved here in 93, and it's been a long time. And when I think Barry Larkin retired, he was the last player that I knew that I had actually watched when I was growing up and still a Reds fan. And then over the years, I've just adopted the Cardinals. I'm not a jump on the bandwagon kind of guy. I've lived here 32 years and I've supported the Cardinals for the most part since then. But being around the Reds and watching their slide into oblivion from the glory years gives me caution with what I'm seeing with the Cardinals. Honestly, you know, I listened to Reardon yesterday. He was talking about this a little bit and the fact that they can't fill the seats up. Right?
No.
Like Cardinal fans are finicky, and they've always put 3 million butts in the seats, whether they've pretty much had an up year or a down year. But the last few years, the Cardinals have shown an unwillingness to pay what it's going to take to bring in big talent, free agent. They did what the Cincinnati Bengals used to do for years and years, which was we used to call them the aging, tight-fisted patriarch of the Bengals, the Brown family. They just wanted to depend on the draft. It worked for them a couple of times. Boomer Esiason, Icky Woods, they got a few players over the years, but they would never go out and buy a big-name player. And it led to a decline in interest and fan attendance and all of that. I hate to think that's happening to the Cardinals, but they kind of need to turn this around and not just say, wait till next year every season. And that was kind of the feel this year. Okay, we got Mo for one more year, and then you just wait because Chaim Bloom's going to take over and everything's going to get better. Well, but is it going to get better next year unless you go out and you spend a little bit of all that cash you've got and bring in some high-quality players who are already established? I mean, I am excited about the prospects in the minors, but an Albert Pujols doesn't come along but once in a lifetime. They got lucky with that one, but I don't know that that's going to happen again. And the reason I say that is as a adopted Cardinal fan, I appreciate we were spoiled for many years by the success of this team. I mean, to have gone to as many World Series as they did and had the successes they did with pennants and all that over the past 20 years has been amazing. As a Kentucky fan, and if Kim was here, she'd make fun of me for bringing that up. Even if, like, they haven't won a world championship, they haven't won the NCAA title since 2012. That was 13 years ago. That's a long drought for Kentucky fans. But you know what? Try getting a seat to a basketball game at Rupp Arena. You can't. You can't. Unless you know somebody or you want to pay an exorbitant price on the secondary market, it's almost impossible to get a ticket to that game. The Cardinals have got to get back to that. To where Busch Stadium, you're putting butts in the seats. It's not just all about TV revenue. I mean, I think deep down they must know that. But if the DeWitts have kind of lost interest in winning and they're just over there raking in the cash, then that interest is going to continue to diminish. I hate to see it, but I lived through it with the Reds, and they haven't won anything in years. They haven't even been halfway decent in years. And it just, I don't know, just my observations this morning as I sit here, just Ethan and I in the studio.
Even if we do hold on for, say, next year and the new kids come up, you still got kids. It's like you say, we don't have a major talent that's going to pull in the fans at all. And then even if we do wait, you're going to be waiting 3 or 4, 5 years for those kids to develop to come up.
Could be. Nobody wants to wait that long.
We've got one real pitcher. No offense to the guys on the team, but We've got one pitcher.
You got to bolster that that bench for sure. 100%. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Coming up, we are going to get a report from our friend Ryan Schmelz, who's been up there in D.C. kind of following what's going on. I asked Ryan to join us this morning. I know we had him on earlier this week, but he is in Congress, and he is keeping an eye on what's happening with all of this stuff up there in the nation's capital, not the least of which is these arrests in D.C. and the impact that's having. And there's a new poll out that supposedly shows an overwhelming number of D.C. residents are opposed to the president's actions. Well, you know what? He probably didn't get 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C. Is anybody surprised by that? I'll tell you one thing they're not going to do. They're not going to complain when they can walk to a restaurant to have dinner again without worried about being carjacked. So we're going to talk more about that with Ryan here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I mean, by any measure, D.C., certain neighbors of D.C. are not safe neighborhoods. You know, J.D. Vance is right. I've taken my kids to the Amtrak Union Station, and we have been yelled at by vagrants. We have been yelled at by homeless people who are on drugs. We have actually witnessed people do drugs at the Union Station.
I've been yelled at in a lot of train stations across the country that are, nor should I, but my point is it doesn't just happen in places like D.C., so is the National Guard going to go to every 50 states?
I don't think that has to be the case. You know,
That was Laura Coates, one of the CNN anchors, completely making our point that, so what if you get yelled at? And I've been yelled at in a lot of train stations. They're going to do this everywhere. Maybe they need to, Laura. I don't know. We got Ryan Schmelz on the phone from Fox News Radio, who lives this every day. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. My point all along has been, they released some stats yesterday. Crime is down. At least there have been a lot of arrests in D.C. so far, right?
Yes, there have been. Over 500 arrests so far. Dozens, I believe it's like 63 illegal aliens have been detained. You've got, I believe, just short of 100 firearms that have been seized as well. And 48 or so homeless encampments have been uprooted. So, yeah, certainly the arrests have been happening. Now, whether or not the crime is actually down or not, I think it's still a little too early to tell on that front.
Well, stopping the recidivism problem is a justice issue, correct? So if these people are being charged federally, then Jeanine Pirro has an impact on it. But if they're going to the same local D.C. judges who've been releasing them, then nothing changes.
Exactly. I think that's always kind of been one of the arguments because, you know, there was a local news station here that actually did some, you know, digging on the arrest numbers, and it didn't seem like it's that much far off than what they were before. But the question is, you know, are these folks who are getting arrested this time, are they going to face stiffer prosecution, or are they going to be, you know, kind of in the D.C. system, which people believe is a little more lax, especially when it comes to juvenile arrest? So, yes, what's going to happen when they get prosecuted is kind of the big question that moves forward.
Well, if the numbers dip, if Ryan Schmelz suddenly feels confident walking from his apartment to, you know, several city blocks to get a bite to eat, and then 30 days evaporate and the president can't get approval by Congress and all of those National Guard troops disappear and the crime rate goes back up, guess who's going to be screaming? It's going to be the residents of Washington, D.C. who saw what life could be like, right?
I mean, yes, and it's become a divisive issue here. I mean, look, it depends on party lines, right? People who work for Republicans here feel very safe and are loving this idea, whereas people who work for Democrats are a little bit more critical of it. It's kind of one of those things that gets split along party lines, and it's become very divisive. Especially for the people who work on Capitol Hill. Now, the other residents of D.C., I mean, you know, there certainly are some protests that have been going on. There's been some videos of federal, you know, law enforcement officers being chased out of certain neighborhoods or certain metro stops. So, you know, J.D. Vance has made the accusation that some of them are paid protesters, and certainly that could be the case. You see a lot of professional protesters around D.C. all the time. But, you know, the fact that in some cases these federal law enforcement officers are facing some pretty stiff backlash is certainly notable.
Yeah, it's true. Ryan, I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Thank you.
Hey, of course. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Ryan Schmelz there up in D.C. this morning at the end of the day, if this has an impact on crime compared to what they were doing, the pressure's on. It's on Kara Spencer. It's on Brandon Johnson. It's on all these big city, blue city mayors who have ignored the crime problem for too long and acted like there's nothing to see here. It's not a big deal that windows get smashed and cars get jacked all the time. We're fine. Leave us alone. The people are going to rise up and say, no, we kind of liked being safe for a few minutes. That's what they're afraid of, ladies and gentlemen. Take my word for it. Coming up, we'll talk to David Grasso about that breaking news overnight that the Texas House has approved redistricting. We'll be back in a minute.